Welcome to Kansas City Cannabis, where local roots and city pride thrive. Whether you're new or seasoned to cannabis, our expert bud tenders offer guidance and a welcoming atmosphere at our four KC locations. Experience genuine service and hometown heart. Visit kccannabis.org for more.
You are listening live to the program.
Brought to you by Wirth Harley-Davidson. Online at wirthharleydavidson.com for new and used bikes. And bike nights every Thursday night at I-29 and Tiffany Springs. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Your teams, your town, your program.
High fly ball deep left center field. And Salvador Perez has the Royals' third two-run home run today.
46th home run.
Beautiful.
That throw.
Just fitting that one in.
He threw it right by that linebacker's ear. Never even saw it. Right off his ear.
He had no option but to catch that ball. That ball was just implanted in his chest right there.
No, the ball caught him. The ball caught him.
I just guess I think we maybe tried to show that we cared a little bit more tonight.
And now, already busting out the long sleeves, Seren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It was before 8 o'clock when I got going this morning. It was still chilly. You telling me I should have,
I had a nice...
Are you critiquing?
No.
Are you hating?
I almost popped on the old long sleeve wind shirt today, but and
why
I'm kind
the
of
hate?
Wishing I had.
Why the hate, Curtis?
It's nice. It's a good-looking TCU activity.
Every time I try to go and make something fun, you go and make it not that way.
Not that way.
Yeah.
I hate okay. so much about who you've chosen to become.
It is the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thanks for joining us here on a beautiful Fall Tuesday. Can I call it fall?
Yeah.
You jumped all over my ass yesterday.
It's not quite there. It's not there yet. One more day.
It's Jed, can I call it fall?
You can call it fall.
No, I get the thumbs up from Jed.
I'm lamenting I forgot to use Earth, Wind, and Fire September.
Okay, good to know.
First night of September, I forgot to use that today in the open. I was going to do that.
That would be great.
Slipped my mind.
A lot to get to in the program today. We try to jam-pack the show. You can grab a phone line right now if you'd like to join the conversation, 913-3810-810. Took a lot of phone calls yesterday. I know we left a lot of people hanging, so if you didn't get a chance to discuss the Kansas City Chiefs, I'm sure that's probably still topic number one. 913-3810-810, the phone number. Chiefs allowing 32.5 points per game this season, 28th in the NFL. But still number two in some power rankings.
I like that they're 28th.
I bring that up because I'm looking at it on NFL.com. It's their subject matter now.
Like that they've been drilled twice.
If you were allowing 32.5 points and 28th overall in points allowed in the old days,
yeah,
you'd be 40th.
That's amazing. There are four teams. They've been drilled twice, and there are four teams that have given up more points per game than they have. Stunning.
We're going to talk about the defense.
We can.
There's numbers out there. We gave you some numbers that are optimistic. Giving up the 450 plus.
Yeah, and then you dig in a little deeper into those, and some there's some things I found that maybe weren't as optimistic. There was one kind of separation where the Chiefs, having lost that, and it is two games and one play on offense is not going to alter the defense, but the fact that the teams that were 2-0 in that group did much better than the teams that were 1-1 or 0-2 in those two games. So we can dig into that later.
We'll kick it around. We'll talk about what was the right play call for Andy Reid. Right? What was the right play call for Andy Reid?
Clearly not that one, say the fans.
Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus will be with us in the 3 o'clock hour. Tim Grunhard in the 4 o'clock hour. In the 5, Alec Lewis talking some Royals baseball. Salvador Perez, 46 homers.
46.
Greatest season in the history of Royals baseball, right?
No.
No one's ever had a better year.
No.
What? But it's now.
Yep. When people were saying, best season ever for a catcher? Question mark. And I'm like, no. There's a couple of years you may want to check. Might
take a look at the bench 45 home run year. See the other
70
things.
70 and 72 for bench. You know, Roy Campanella. They've been there for pretty good numbers. It's not insulting to say he's behind that, but he has eclipsed that number in home runs. Although people will now say, well, he only hit so many as a catcher and bench whatever.
Bench only hit so many as a catcher. 38 of his 45.
Yeah.
Salvi's what now? 31 of 46. I think as a catcher. It was yesterday a catcher one. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, exactly.
31 of 46. Listen, do you remember when? I don't even remember who it was. One of the CBS guys wrote that the Chiefs in 2013 were the worst 9-0 team ever.
Mm-hmm.
And how everybody lost their mind. Pete Prisco. Mm-hmm. Everyone lost their mind. Yep. How can you say that? I didn't say they're the worst 9-0. Team ever. They're the worst 9-0 team.
Yes.
Somebody
has to be.
Somebody's the best. Somebody's
somewhere
the worst.
In the world is the worst doctor. You know, George Carlin.
They still call him doctor.
Somewhere in the world is the worst 9-0 team.
You know what they call the guy who graduated last in his class from medical school? Doctor. They call him doctor.
Somewhere there's the best 0-16 team. Or 0-0, you know, winless team.
There you have it.
Is it the 08 Lions? The 76 Bucks? Who knows? One of them's better. One of them's the best.
So we get upset.
Yes.
Our team is the best. Our player. I like this guy. I like him, so he's got to be great. Yeah, I hear a lot of that with Chris Jones right now. I lobbied for signing Chris Jones, so something else is screwed. Well, yeah, he's not playing the position you signed him to. That's what's screwed. He signed him to be a great defensive tackle, and then because you couldn't fill it out personnel-wise because of personnel decisions you made, one of which was signing Chris Jones, you don't have enough money to go get a defensive end, so this is what you came up with. I think it's going to be interesting. Let me start with this, and we'll get to the phones early and often. 913-3-810-810. You can also hit me up on the Twitter. It's at Soren Petro. SorenPetro. If you want to hit me up on the Twitter. When the Chiefs were driving down, right, at the end of the game, and this goes back because I think we quelled a lot of it, but I heard in other places, you know, continuing to be that Andy Reid somehow botched this game with his play call to hand off the football.
Boob.
Just your old-fashioned regular boob.
Boob.
A boob move. When he fumbled the football, he being Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Thank
that's
you.
That's what I was going
that's,
for.
That's what we were.
I had to find
nice
it.
Word.
Sorry.
That's okay.
That drop can be played at any moment. It will still be entertaining.
Regardless of the subject matter.
Play was snapped with 1:26. The next play would be snapped at 1:20. So at the 1:20 mark left in the game, let me ask you a question. And after Patrick Mahomes completed a pass to Travis Kelce, which took them down to the two-minute warning. Or no, they were at the two-minute warning, and he completed a pass to Kelce from the 39 to the 32. Let's say at the 48, when they get to the Baltimore 39, right? You're in field goal range?
Mm-hmm.
That's a 57-yarder?
Yeah, you're in range. You'll kick it if you're there. You want
so
five
the 32
yards.
Is a 50-yarder?
Yeah.
Okay. So they get done with the play. They snap the play at 2 minutes, so somewhere around 151, 155, right after a 7-yard completion to Travis Kelce is there. You're in field goal range. You're now at the Baltimore 32. You're lining up a 50-yarder. Harrison Butker clearly has 50-yard range. If you were to hand the ball over right there at that time, 155, or let's even take it down to 126. 126 is when they snap the ball for the handoff to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If you knew you were going to give the ball back, or if you were going to take the field goal right then, a minute 26, do you think the Ravens are going to go down and get a field goal in a minute 26?
No.
You don't?
Well, hang on. With
because let me remind you.
Oh,
what,
with no timeouts?
The Ravens had timeouts.
Oh, yeah, I guess they did.
The Ravens had timeouts.
Yeah, they probably will. If from the 26, yes, they probably do. If they have timeouts
from their own 32,
with their kicker,
Justin Tucker. Yeah,
Tucker's might be the best kicker ever.
If you had the ball right there, I put it at 95%.
Yeah,
right.
From their
here's by the way what the Ravens had done previous to that offensively. touchdown, field goal, touchdown, punt, touchdown, touchdown. Five of their previous six drives resulted in points. Four of those five were touchdowns. There's really no indication that the Chiefs are going to stop them. That being said, today's role as a play caller is different. Back in the day, we'll talk about this with Tim Grunhard, when Timmy played, it was hard to score, right? Offenses weren't as good. The receivers weren't as dynamic. The quarterback's not as accurate. The rules were different. It was harder to score. 17-16 was a common score. Right now, you got to get out towards 30. You would take a score any way you could get it to take the lead and just say, okay, now comes the defense, because teams usually don't score. Clearly, the Baltimore Ravens usually score. And in fact, in this game, the Chiefs only forced two punts. Lamar Jackson threw two picks. But if they don't, if he doesn't throw the picks, history tells us there's probably 10 more points for the Ravens, because there's no reason to believe that they were going to stop them.
No, because they didn't.
So my point is this. When you're calling the plays, you have to account for the fact of whether or not you think the other team is going to score. And I think that's where Andy Reid's going to have to shift gears here pretty soon. Right? Unless somebody wants to tell me, no, the psychology is you have to continue to make decisions that make your defense think you feel like they're going to get a stop. Otherwise, the defense will crumble. I'll listen to that psychology. Somebody explain it to me. I'll listen to it. But for me, when Andy Reid looks in the mirror, he should see a man that sees a team looking back at him with no defense. And he should assume that he's got to keep scoring, or he's got to leave no time on the clock for the opposition. We can talk about all the things they could have done leading up to that point, but once he gets into that point, he has to drain the clock. He cannot leave enough time for Justin Tucker to go down and get a field goal. Because remember, a field goal doesn't tie it for the Ravens at that point. It beats them. Andy Reid's mission has to be to either get a touchdown or to burn the clock. Or both.
Yeah, ideally.
Tough needle to thread.
Take whichever one presents itself to you.
Tough needle to thread.
Yes.
So I think, you know, it's listen, the play call was absolutely the right play call. He was beginning to burn the clock. If you want to say we're going to go for seven as fast as we can get it, as often as we can get it, and that's going to carry over into the end of the game, we're going to design the offense to be that way. And if we can't, remember when Mizzou went to the full-time shotgun under Gary Pinkel, and people, if they did not punch one in from the one, you got to have a fullback. Get him under center. How about a quarterback sneak? What are they doing? Over. I won't say over and over again, because there weren't that many times they didn't punch it in. Right? They usually punched it in. And but if they didn't.
You're talking about, yeah. Early.
Brad Smith.
Yeah. And also Twitter didn't
and
exist.
Chase Daniel.
But you know it would have. You know if Twitter existed in 2002 through 2005 or through 6, it would have been bonkers.
And certainly in college you have less time than you do in the pros, but there is an element of we're going to be what we're going to be. Like the Ravens can't, you know, there's nothing ever worse than watching Oklahoma or Nebraska. The handful of times back when Nebraska was in the eye playing option football and Oklahoma in the wishbone playing option football, and they'd find themselves down 7 with a minute and a half to go, and watching the asinine frivolity of those teams try to throw the ball when the other team knew they were going to throw the ball, and just how pathetic it was. Mm. That's an exaggeration to make a point. You are what you are. Right? No team, no professional football team is that lopsided in the sense that, oh, my God. You know, Keith Jackson would catch a ball for the 85 Sooners because you just had no idea they were going to throw.
Right.
And all of a sudden, here's this 250-pound tight end running 50 yards down the field, and Jamel Holloway would lollipop one in there, and he'd catch it and run in for a touchdown. In fact, I think they did that against Penn State.
No one's secondary could cover the pass because there was no reason to have that.
They were all up there firing into the line, trying to stop the run. Yeah. But damn, when one of those teams had to throw the ball, oh God, it looked like a bad junior high team. Like it was awful, right? So there is an element of, and I get this, if the fans are like, listen, you got to go, put it in Mahomes' hands and live with that. All right, you know, the idea being we're not going to be in a 1-point game. Because we're hanging 40-something. I think that's a legit mindset to have. If Andy Reid can dial up enough plays, if you can just physically beat people off the same play for the fourth time. I think one of the elements of Andy Reid's offense that doesn't get enough play, and you can't see it unless you go to the games or you watch the All-22 tape, is the route combinations that Andy Reid's teams have. And there's only so many that you can stretch defense a certain ways that, oh, I know, I've seen that. I know you're really coming back over here. And they start to react. And it gets harder, right? That I think that's one of the reasons why people say, well, Andy Reid took his foot off the gas. Yes, I think he does. And I think it's to conserve plays. You know, there's only so many gotchas you got during the course of a year, and he doesn't want to blow them all out in the first 3 weeks. He wants to use what he needs to get to the finish line, so he's got more for late in the year when they got to have it for a playoff push, or in the postseason in a drive to the Super Bowl. Now, does he end up leaving 25 plays on the table that he never got to? Maybe. I don't know. Only Andy Reid knows that. But I offer it up as a possibility. But I do think that one of the things that's going to happen, and we're going to talk defense, I know, because Jim wants to come out of the gates talking defense, and we're going to give some defensive numbers when we do. If this defense doesn't get better real fast, then you have to embrace what you are, and that is a team that doesn't have a defense. And then you change your defensive scheme to just being turnover-based. We're coming with a blitz, and if we give up the 70-yard run, we're going to run blitz the crap out of people. And if they break through, we're going to hope Tyrann Mathieu or Dan Sorensen, or if it's one of the nine plays that Juan Thornhill's actually on the field, can get an ankle and trip the guy up, and it's only an 18-yard gain and not 78. But we're going to live with a 78-yard run because we're hell-bent on run blitzing, and we're going to come after the quarterback with blitzes. And if we get beat on one over the top because we're one-on-one with Rashad Fenton against their number two wideout, and he just gets beat, we're going to live with it because we're going to come right back at you with seven with Patrick Mahomes. We're going to use the fourth down. We're going to go for two. We're going to be uber-aggressive on the offensive side of the ball. You can embrace that and play that way, but you need to play that way. What you can't do is half-ass it and try to play a little bit of both.
Yeah, the Loyola Marymount didn't. They didn't compromise.
They didn't suddenly we're have shooting. A Princeton set.
Yeah, we're shooting, man.
To go
we make it, we
stall it out.
Yes.
You know, run and gun. Here we go, boys. Let's make it happen, and let's try to get some turnovers. And if you can get up, you force teams out of what they want to do. You make them one-dimensional. It does get easier to play defense against them. And the Chiefs appear to be on their way to doing that. At, what, 28-17, wasn't it, at one point?
Mm-hmm.
And 35-24... That seemed to be where, and I'll give credit again to Corey Anderson, who pointed out very well yesterday, because I had the same thought. You know, they're not caving. They're not going to the air. And that's what's happened in all these other games. They just junk the run, they go to the air, and the Chiefs got them. Because the Chiefs defense is designed to play pass defense. And I will also point out that this may be the two, you know, you're a fastball hitting defense, and you've just seen two change up, two pus throwers. Two wily veterans coming at you with breaking ball after change, after slurve, after breaking ball, after knuckler, and just all this junk, and it's just not what you hit. And we're going to see them get back to more traditional offenses that are going to attack this defense the way teams traditionally do, the way this defense is built to stop, and they're going to look a lot better. That's entirely possible. We'll talk about Aaron Rodgers a little bit later on and his little pity party he's having with the media these days. But his R-E-L-A-X, relax.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all for that for one more week.
Yeah.
But the Chargers are going to come in traditional, with a traditional style that should be better suited for what the Chiefs defense appears to have been built for. And they're a divisional opponent and your chief rival. You need to make a statement. You need to kick some ass in this game. You need to put them down and put them down hard.
If they put up 35... four alarms.
Yeah, because you've now lost to it, and you've gotten blown out by an entirely different style.
I think even if you win and the Chargers, unless it's 38-17 and there's some garbage plays, but if it's a back-and-forth game, even if the Chiefs win, if the Chargers get over 30, then the alarm bell should be sounding off all over the complex.
If Andy Reid wants to stay the course with what he's doing for two more games, I'll watch it, because Bill Belichick is renowned for Week 5, this is when the season begins. And Andy Reid even said earlier, the first few games are different than all the rest because you don't have any tape on people.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there needs to be at least three. Fourth, we could hold him to the fourth game on that. Let's give him the first traditional first quarter of the season. It's now the first quarter of the season happens, yeah. What, after the first quarter of the fifth game?
Stupid 17th game.
But four games in, then we'll say, okay, no more excuses. You are what you are. And that fifth game, you better be all you can be, because it's now time to go out and get it done. I'm of the mindset that this defense is not going to get that much better. And I think we're going to find out that this is the penalty, and this is what we talked about when you're signing all these guys. And you can throw in Chris Jones isn't the last one. Joe Tooney is the last big expensive guy. And when you sign Joe Tooney and when you sign Chris Jones and when you trade for Frank Clark and sign Frank Clark and when you trade for Orlando Brown, when you're giving away all these premium high picks and eating up all this salary cap on these players, the guys that go in between those guys are going to make less and less and less and less. They're going to be drafted lower and lower and lower and lower. Sitting around here and saying, well, Chris Jones needs some help is bunk. Chris Jones and Frank Clark are supposed to be the guys who get it done. Then when Tershawn Wharton gets a sack, you're like, wow, what a great get. Tershawn Wharton, undrafted. You don't sit around and go, Chris Jones ain't living up to his contract as the 33rd ranked defensive end in football. 33rd is not living up to the money you've invested in him because Tershawn Wharton is not getting it done. Wrong. Wrong. No. The guy's getting paid, got to get it done. 913-3-810-810. Phone lines are open. 913-3-810-810. Hit me up on the Twitter. It's at Soren Petro, S-O-R-E-N-P-E-T-R-O. You're in the program.
The program with Soren Petro.
I've had about enough of this crap. I'm leaving.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Chiefs football, the topic here to get things started. Got some folks lining up. Jim, Greg, Jim, we're going to lead off with you guys. 913-3-810-810. Chiefs defense will get better. Will get better, but so will other teams' offenses, right? They got to get appreciably better than they've been here so far. Can you win a championship with a defense like this, Curtis? Mm-hmm. Before we go to the phones, those 450-plus yardage teams, back-to-back 450 yards.
Yep.
We mentioned it. There's a Super Bowl team in there.
Yes, there is. The 2011 New England Patriots. In the last previous who lost to the Giants.
That's the best one of the bunch.
In the previous 10 seasons, 9 teams have allowed 450-plus each of their first two games. Their average final record that year was roughly 11-5, 10.7 and 5.3. 6 of the 9 went to the playoffs. 3 won at least one playoff game. 2 teams got to the conference championship, including the 2018 Chiefs, and 1 team got to the Super Bowl, the 2011 Patriots. So I wanted to see what kind of improvement could be expected from those teams. Those 9 teams gave up, on average, about 375 yards a game the rest of the way. So they got a little better, but not appreciably better.
That number is enough to make you
They finished on average 27th.
Let's see what last year's last was.
Yeah. They finished, on average, 27th in the league in yards allowed. 2 of them did finish in the top 20, 18th and 17th. But 17th is the high water mark for any one of those 9 teams.
So what'd you say, 375?
375.
So, let's see, 30, 28, 26, 24, 22. That would have brought you in at 22nd in the NFL. If you average that for a whole year, 22nd in the NFL. Throw on that extra, and they probably finished in the, pretty low. But that's what it would do. Off last year's rankings,
which maybe it's as we get later in this involvement of offenses, that number probably would finish higher than the average overall,
right?
Because even in the last 10 years, there's been a jump. But 17th was the high water mark of one of those teams. That was the Saints in 2017. Of the 6 teams that made the playoffs, on average, they finished 4th in points scored and 5th in yards. So the teams that had the offenses, like the 2018 Chiefs and like apparently this year's Chiefs, were able to offset that and make the postseason. So the 6 teams that did get into the playoffs, 4th in points, 5th in yards on offense. Then I broke it down. The last thing I broke down was what their records were in those 2 games. Small sample size, be it may, but 4 teams went 2-0 in those games, 4 of the 9. Those teams all made the playoffs, finishing with an average final record of 13-3.
And it has the Chiefs and Pats in there as
well. The 11 Pats, the 15 Packers, who went 15-1, the 18 Chiefs, and last year's Seahawks, who went 12-4. The 5 teams that went 1-1 or 0-2 finished with an average record of 9-7. So, I don't think there's a 4-game difference in what the Chiefs can do this year simply based on the fact that Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumbled.
Right.
It's a very small sample size, but that's kind of the breakdown of what the Chiefs seem primed to be one of those playoff teams because they have one of those
But we will say they're 0-9 on winning a championship.
Yes.
And only again, one, very small sample size, but...
And only one team has gotten to the Super Bowl in that situation, and that's what the bar is now for the Chiefs. And we also showed the minimal possibility of major improvement from the defense the rest of the way. 376 a game is not going to be very successful, even in the modern passing NFL, and 27th overall is where they finished. They're going to have to score a boatload of points or do something that has not been done generally defensively with teams that have struggled that early.
913-3810-810. Jim, you're in the program. What's going on, Jim?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
I know I'm preaching to the choir, but 2nd and 3 and you need to run a little clock. Yeah, it was the call. The play didn't work out. But anyway, moving on to the defense, I don't think it's time to hit the panic button. They got a lot of time to fix their problems. But it's concerning, and I guess my question for you guys is, you know, when you look at a defense, it's effort, execution, and then scheme. And I think you can go back to – and I'm not a football X's and O's expert, but even I can look at, like, the Nick Chubb touchdown run in the Cleveland game. Their guy went – the Chiefs' defensive end went the wrong direction and just opened up the entire – you know, the entire side, and Chubb was untouched. You can look at the last play when the Ravens went for it on 4th down. The Ravens came out with an unbalanced line to the left, and the Chiefs didn't slide over. Go back and look at that play. They are outnumbered at the point of attack because they didn't recognize unbalanced line. They got 4 guys on the weak side. Anyway.
Well, so but and you know, it's a great, but you are right. Everything you said is right. Let me just add on. And the Ravens hatch that once the Chiefs have used all their timeouts.
Absolutely. But, yeah, I don't want to get into all that.
No, I mean, no, you're right. I'm just saying, and on top of it is the Chiefs had to be burning timeouts because they couldn't stop anybody earlier. You wouldn't have seen that play. That play is when they know that the other team can't do it. They're like, okay, when we have to get a yard and the other team's out of timeouts, this is what we're going to run because they're not going to have a time to adjust to it. They've probably not shown that formation for years, if they've ever shown it. They came out with it. Chiefs had no idea, hadn't seen it on tape, hadn't been coached what to do with it. And you know, that's John Harbaugh's a good coach. And that what you have to do is not be in a position where you have to get a stop with only 1 yard to go and have no timeouts. The problem there, I mean, you're going to get got, right? The problem is all the plays that happened before that, because they still only got 2 yards on the play.
Absolutely. But that was just an example of a scheme thing. My question is, and I've watched, went back, kind of rewatched both games, and I don't see a lot of this, but do you see lack of effort on the defensive side? Do you see any of that creeping in? You know, do you see any guys making business decisions? Because I don't know that I do. I still have optimism that the defense can get better, but I guess they probably can't get much worse. And I guess that's my question, and I'll leave it at that. Have a good day.
Let me ask you this, Jim, before you go, because I always enjoy your calls. Do you see – is Chris Jones making business decisions, or is Chris Jones just not committed to doing the dirty work when he doesn't set the edge?
I think that's an execution. I think he's a player that doesn't quite know what he's doing at that position because he's not experienced at it. It doesn't mean that he won't learn.
Right.
I don't know. I don't see that as effort. I don't think. But there are. I think there are also plays where Chris Jones doesn't play as hard as he possibly could. But I think that's your trade out when you have a defensive lineman that's going to play 90% of the defensive snaps. I mean, you can't. When you're 325 or 40 pounds or whatever he is,
Chris Jones, 292, according to what he said in camp.
But you can't play 100% every single play on the defensive line if you're. That's why defensive lines. That's why they rotate. That's why some teams go 6, 7, 8 deep.
Yeah, it's. And Jim, thank you for the call, buddy. I think you make a very good point. I want to go a little bit deeper on it, but like I said, I always enjoy your call, and it's like Bill Self talking about, you know, dope going up and down the floor. Because it takes a lot of energy to take that big body up and down the floor. And it takes a lot of energy to fire off and run full speed. Defense has to not quit. Everyone, all 11 guys, are supposed to not quit on the play till the guy's down, right? And O-linemen, they get 10 yards past you, you're kind of done. You can take, you know, put some of the energy back in the tank. But you know, you can be a max effort guy, and I think there are times, and Tim Grunhard has said it many, many times. Defensive linemen he's gone up against, they can't go 100% every snap. Right now, you rotate them, and you would like to think the snaps that are in there, they go 100%. Right? That's what you want from them.
Sure.
And I do agree, Chris Jones is unfamiliar with how to set the edge. It's not something he's done time and time again. Certainly not done it time and time again against a team that practices over and over and over how to bait you into not setting the edge. And the Ravens are the toughest test for him to have to go up against in only a second game out there. And so, yes, I give a lot of opportunity for him to get better. But I'm going to tell you that one of the reasons why Justin Houston is not on this football team is Justin Houston and Chris Jones viewed the game very differently. And Justin Houston would look at Chris Jones and think he didn't really take the game serious. Now, is that because Justin Houston's a stick in the mud? He's a Bill Belichick, no fun, pain in the ass? Probably. I think there's an element of that from the people I've talked to. There's an element of that. Is there some times, though, that Chris Jones, the guy we love to hear joke and laugh and have fun and smile and get the crowd going, sometimes is more preoccupied with smiling and joking and laughing and getting the crowd going than it is doing the little things? He's been criticized for his run defense on the inside as well. And now on the outside, there's not two linebackers and another D-tackle and a D-end on each side of him. It's just him. When he gets beat out there, then now you got corners coming up trying to tackle 210-pound guys 8 yards across the line of scrimmage with a head of steam. It looks worse.
Yep.
And it may be that this is the exact same play we saw at D-tackle that had people criticizing him for not playing the run well. And we all love Chris Jones, and we all want to believe our guys that Tyreek Hill's the best at everything, and Patrick Mahomes is the best at everything. I actually think he is. Travis Kelce's the best at everything. But if you're going to talk about the best blocking tight ends of all time, that's not Travis Kelce. He is what he is, and Chris Jones is not the best run defender. It's just, it is what it is. So you made that decision to go down this road, and you've got to live with it. You've got to find the rest of the guys around him. And Jaron Reed was supposed to be that guy, and according to Pro Football Focus, Jaron Reed might as well have not gotten off the bus for two games.
Yeah, I've yet to see him make a play.
I mean, so the all the problems are not Chris Jones. Chris Jones is more the solution than the problem. But I do think the Chiefs pretty soon are going to have to ask themselves, and it comes with going up against a couple of teams that are going to play more traditional football than the Chargers and Eagles. Right? The Eagles are after that. Right?
Yes, actually.
You know, are we taking a great defensive end and just making him an average, or a great defensive tackle and just making him an average DN? I mean, Tershawn Wharton weighs 255 pounds, according to the Chiefs' listings. How about Tershawn Wharton out of D-end? And Chris Jones stays at D-tackle, where we know he's one of the most disruptive defenders in the NFL.
I would like to see that lineup.
That to me,
at some point.
I think that sounds pretty good. And listen, let's get Derek Nnadi healthy. Let's get Willie Gay Jr. back out on the field. Let's at some point get Juan Thornhill to understand the offense. Let's get some of the athleticism on the field and see what this defense looks like. 913-3-810-810. Greg, you're in the program. What's up, Greg?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to put something out there for you to think of. I mean, the Chiefs do such things that are so unique on offense. How does our defense, look out and try to do something or go up against something different than what our offense puts out there?
Well, I think it's a fair point. In fact, and Greg, thanks for the call, because I don't think Steve Spagnuolo was trying to throw the offense under the bus, but he did once during preseason say, well, and we get a lot of four wide out looks, and we don't see a fullback a lot of the time. You know, he's talked about it. I mean, there is something to it. And by the way, the head coach is the guy on the offensive side of the ball. So if you're going to run one more to make sure you got it right, do you think that's on the defensive side of the ball or the offensive side of the ball? I mean, I find it almost impossible to believe that any coach, any head coach, doesn't spend a little bit more time on his side of the ball. It's one of the reasons why I think Tom Brady with Bill Belichick, we're going to get this defense right. But Tom Brady will get it right over there. He doesn't need the reps, right? And I think with Patrick Mahomes, that may be the case. That, listen, you got 15. There's going to be three or four plays that he makes that are just him. Just him and the coaching of the receivers on what to do on the scramble drill. You're going to get that. Let's give a couple extra reps to the defensive side of the ball. I think now that needs to be front and center.
Especially when they're struggling. You know, if you need to do more work, you need to study harder. If your grades are bad, do more studying.
Yeah. You got an A in English and an F in math. Let's spend a little more time on math. Jim, you're in the program. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Saran. I loved your comments at the beginning of the program. Got two things for you today.
Okay.
One, running the football. I mean, I know times have changed a little bit, and we're all pass-happy right now, but nothing's more demoralizing to a football team than having somebody just run the ball down your throat, especially when you have a high-powered offense sitting on the sidelines that you'd like to get the ball back to. So, just an observation.
So you're saying run the ball more to help the defensive side of the ball?
No, not necessarily. I'm just saying we've gotten away from the run, and now when you get a team who can just run the ball and you can't stop them, it's demoralizing for the whole team. And I think the Raiders Ravens are taking advantage of that, and they're playing smart. I mean, the pass is the great equalizer. When you don't have as good a talent, and the guys across the line from you in the trenches are beating you, what do? You throw the ball because you can't run.
Well, I think nowadays, I think that assessment is fair, Jim, and I appreciate the call. And I don't, you know, being more effective in the run, yes, I'm on board. They're not effective in the run right now, though. No. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is averaging 3.3 yards per carry. Now, where are the end-arounds to Tyreek Hill? Where's the shovel pass?
I see that. In so many situations, I see Hill or Hardman or someone in motion, and I'm expecting that little flip, and I'm not seeing it.
The Chiefs, part of their problem is they faced two teams that burn the clock, so they haven't gotten that was a preseason game. How many plays did they run against the Browns? Will you look that up real quick? They only had 45 offensive plays, so part of it is you're not able to get to some of that stuff because you just haven't had the quantity of plays. But, you know, some things that are lacking that would be interesting to watch. The screen game, which is a chance to get your offensive lineman down out into space and pummeling smaller people. So you talk about being physical and rough and tough. If you can get the screen game going, we haven't really seen that.
61 plays against the Browns.
All right. So that's a little bit more average. It's not the 76 that the Ravens ran against you.
Average is somewhere in 65, 66, 67, yeah. I think, is what I usually see.
I think that's about right. But 45 is all they had against the Ravens. So they didn't really have an opportunity to get to everything they wanted to get to, I'm sure. And yes, being more effective in the run game, I think, would be a positive. But I do believe that the league has gone to, and there is no coming back from, you throw to win and you run when you're winning. Let me see the Cleveland Browns and Baltimore Ravens rush for 200-plus yards in three consecutive games against playoff-caliber opponents, or four. One of them would have to go four. Four consecutive games and win a championship playing that way. I don't think you can do it. I think you're going to have to put the ball in the air. And so run more effectively, yes, it would be a positive. Have to run to win? No, I don't think that's the case.
The program with Soren Petro.
Welcome to Dumpville. Population... you.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We're talking Chiefs football. 913-3810-810. We'll do that with Eric Eager, get his thoughts. Tim Grunhard as well. Alec Lewis talking some Royals baseball in the 5 o'clock hour. Right now we go to the phones. We talk to our buddy Marty in KC. You're in the program, Marty. What's up, buddy?
How's it going today?
Good, man. What's on your mind?
Oh.
You got to get to it, Marty, or I'm moving on.
Sorry. Phone cut out. Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I have a quick question. Why are we moving Chris Jones to defensive end?
Because cap-wise, in signing all the stars, they're limited in who they can sign. Defensive ends are expensive. They couldn't find one. The best fit, the best thing they could find to help the defensive line was to get Jaron Reed for $7 million, and that meant somebody had to move outside. And Chris Jones has been asking to move outside all along, so you're kind of granting a wish to one of your more popular players and one of your leaders on the team.
To me, moving our you know, whatever he signed for, the defensive end of the test sounds more like something you'd do back in 2008 when we're 2-14, not now when it's time to win now.
It's actually more what you do now when you're absolutely, completely cap-strapped and you've made the decision you're just going to keep all the stars and you're going to really sell out all your depth to late-round draft picks and undrafted college free agents and league minimum veterans. This is what you end up with. And this is why when we talked about the cap and signing Chris Jones at that time and you know, handing out everybody's contract, that eventually it gets to be too much. And people wanted to cut Frank Clark, which was an impossibility. And if you could do it over again, you may not win the Super Bowl. Well, but this is somewhat a winner's tax, right? You win the Super Bowl, and you get all the pieces it takes, and you use your cap room then, pawning it off for future years, and this is what it looks like when you've got to pay the bill. Yeah, you don't have to cut anybody, so a lot of people run around who don't want to do the work, in my line of work, to dig into the cap and how it works, and they tell you, the cap, it's not real, it's just crap. Look, they got all their stars. Yeah, and you're playing $1 million Ben Neiman and $1.5 million Dan Sorensen and $1 million Alex Okafor. You're playing league minimum players all over the field, and it bites you in the ass.
I think the stars and Jags thing works if you actually hit a lot of draft picks. I mean, Legarius needs been a nice five, but other than that, we've been whiffing a lot. McCall Hardman for his 56th overall pick. Deontay Johnson, Darius Slayton, Terry McCorder, all available after him. I mean, he's like a Dexter McCluster gadget player to me.
Well, I mean, I think McCall Hardman has had some big plays for this team. I think he's far from the biggest problem. Your problems are Dorian O'Daniel in the third round not getting on the field for defense. Willie Gay making no contribution to defense so far. We've had a good camp. We're optimistic it's coming. Nick Bolton not knowing how to cover anybody in the defense as a second-round pick, which, it's only his second game. You're right, it is. But I don't want to hear, it's only his third game of his second year. Like, okay, it's only his second game, but when are we done with that? And it may not be Nick Bolton's fault. It may be, hey, Steve Spagnuolo's scheme sucks. You need to be in it for 3 years. Who was the safety that came? Well, he was one of the orphan four or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Who came around, and the Chiefs, they cut him, and then they brought him back at the end of the Bob Sutton era. And somebody asked him in 2018, well, how long does it take to really know the Bob Sutton defense? He said, well, like 3 years. How many guys are on your roster for three freaking years? Like, it can't take 3 years to get the scheme down.
Was it Hussein Abdullah?
No.
Right? Didn't talk to him at the Super Bowl? I thought that's where it was.
No, it wasn't. Well, he might have mentioned
Ron
it, too.
Ron Parker.
Ron Parker. But Ron Parker said it in an interview.
Yeah,
but Hussein Abdullah did confirm it. It was like, well, no wonder we got problems here. 913-3-810-810. Josh, you're in the program. What's up, Josh?
Hey, so just curious if you've seen the Pro Football Reference of Dirty Dan having 9 missed tackles, and why when Thornhill looked so good and made 2 remarkable plays against the Browns, he could only get on the field for 11 plays. How has there been any talk about why?
Yeah, and I can tell you that. Listen, I'm a big proponent. I've called it the burn the boat theory. That as long as Dan Sorensen and the Iowa linebacker, I don't know, Ben Neiman, I don't know why his name comes and goes with me. As long as they're there, Steve Spagnuolo is going to play him. So if you're Brett Veach, cut him. And if you cut him, do you then have to play Juan Thornhill? Like Cortez came, got his armies off the boats, and then set the boats on fire and said, forward we go, man, because there ain't no way to go home.
And the stat he's talking about, actually from Pro Football Focus, that said the Chiefs have missed 21 tackles through 2 games. Sorensen has 9 of them. No other Chiefs player has more than 2, and no other player in the league has more than 6.
I think part of the reason Dan Sorensen misses tackles is because he's asked to play too much, and so he's in on too many plays, and teams target him. Dan Sorensen as your dime linebacker, I'm all ears. Dan Sorensen is a starting safety. You got issues. So, Josh, to me, yes, the biggest story that is evolving right now, and again, it's talk radio and I got 4 hours, so we're going to break down the 2 games we got. I will tell you wholeheartedly that 2 games from now, we may be looking at this entirely differently and saying, hey, the Ravens and Browns are a bitch of a matchup for everybody, right? And they're a tough matchup for this team, but you get a more traditional team, and thanks for the call, Josh. You get a more traditional offense against them, they match up really well. Let's see what they do against the Chargers. Good quarterback, good personnel. And then the Eagles, not so good quarterback, you know, young guy, a threat to run. I mean, he's going to present that. And, you know, Devontae Smith, Jalen Reagor, however good you want to consider their personnel. Let's see what they do the next 2 weeks, and maybe we'll all feel a lot better. But if you don't get production from second and third round picks that you've drafted, it is a big problem. They need to play. They need to play a lot, and they need to play well. Tim, you're in the program. What's up, Tim?
Yes, I just had an observation about the defense that kind of reinforces what you've said the past couple of days about a possible disconnect between Veach and Spags and everything. I went back and looked at the roster, the 2019 team that won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
There are 14 players that are still on our team, six of which are starters and a couple more. And I guess my question is this. Do those people really love to play physical football? Why, for the last three seasons, counting the start of this one, have we been talking about mindset and about wanting to tackle and about the attitude of filling gaps?
Let me ask you a question real quick. What, give me the most physical teams. Give me a couple of teams that you think are the most physical.
Pittsburgh.
What have they done over the last 5 years?
Well, I don't know. I really don't follow Pittsburgh.
Well, the answer is nothing. They struggled to make the playoffs. They made the playoffs for the first time. I think it was in 4 years last year. Mindset's great, and that all we need to get tougher and all that crap. The Chiefs tried that pitch a couple of years ago, and I appreciate the call, Tim, but I don't think that's it, right? I don't think it's a mindset thing. It's an athlete thing and or a scheme thing.
The burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, what was the last week that the Chiefs did not have at least a share of the lead in the AFC West? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.